Hello, audio boom. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It's Friday, the 7th of November, 2014. It's about 20 past 9 in the AM. And as is usual, I'm just doing a bit of housey work. Trying to get the house organised. And, try not to have my mic scraping against anything. And, trying to get that house organised in time for the weekend. Because I'm going to be out of action pretty much all weekend. I'm off. I'm going out tonight. I'm blooming dreading it, you know. I'll come to that in a minute. I've just been listening to Sarah from an audio book she did a few days ago. Reading from... one of the handouts she'd got from a therapy session for depression and things. And, wow. I don't want to go too deep into it in this particular audio, but I might do it in detail at another time. I've mentioned it several times before. I think most people are aware that I have similar issues to perhaps not to a slightly lesser extent, but the last time I went to the doctors about it and went and actually sought professional help was about 7 years ago, something like that, and maybe a little bit longer, in fact, maybe 8 years ago, something. But essentially, the options were the same as always. It was either go for counselling or take some drugs, and neither of which appeals to me. I'm not receptive to counselling. It doesn't work for me. I did try. I went to one session and walked out because it was utter garbage. Whether it was because I had a bad counsellor, what I don't know, but it didn't do me any good. But what it did do was sort of. Made me realise that the only person that was going to help me get out of this or get through this or deal with this or live with this was me. Because what are the alternatives? The alternatives to get through depression are either counselling or therapy, whatever you want to call it, or drugs. There are no other alternatives as far as I'm aware. I mean, there's probably some, you know, like... stupid holistic stuff where you could, you know, squeeze a milliliter of juice from the bloody right wing of a housefly or something and drink it in a gallon of milk or some garbage like that. But no, there's nothing really other than, as far as I'm aware, other than drugs or therapy, counselling. Neither of which I want to go down that route. So I just kind of walked out of the building where this session was, and as I was walking back to my car, I kind of thought, you know what, this isn't going to work, you know, and what are my choices? I don't have any other choices. And I kind of made this sort of conscious decision then. It was like, look, I'm going to have to deal with this. There's nobody here to help. Nobody's going to help me get through this other than me. It's down to me to work out a way of living with this, of dealing with it. And that's kind of what I've done, hence why I've not had to go back and seek professional help in any time since. I've come close. I've come really close. When things get rough, I feel like I'm swimming through treacle. And I do get tempted then to just like hold my hands up and say, look, you know, give me your drugs. Because there doesn't seem to be any alternative, but, you know, with time and with a little bit of sort of just stepping back, I think it's the thought of, with me, of having to go to turn to the drugs that makes me kind of just, whoa, wake up a little bit and pinch myself and say, right, come on, you got to sort this out. And then sometimes I think, well, because I can sort it out myself most of the time, do I really suffer with this? Is this just all in my head? You know, is it just a figment of my? Am I just convincing myself that I'm suffering with this thing, or is it just, you know, or is it something genuine? You know, and then I listened to what Sarah read out, and yeah. You know what? She was reading that first the introduction about, you know, what is, you know, how you feel when you're depressed. Yeah, I'm not imagining it. That is me all over. everything that she read out there, I was just like, that applies to me. Yep, that definitely applies to me. Oh yeah, that's me there. Oh yes. Yeah, this isn't my imagination, and it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of reassuring, because it means that I'm not some kind of, I don't know. I've heard people say to others over the. In fact, I've heard a couple of people say it to me. It's all in your head. Well, of course, it's in my head. It's a mental illness, for God's sake. But you know, implying that I just need to snap out of it, you know. It's not real. It's just this thing that I think I'm dealing with, I don't tend to argue very much. I just sort of shrug my shoulders and say, look, when you've had to deal with it yourself, then come back and talk to me. You know, I hope you never have to, but hey, you know. But after a while, that sort of starts preying on your mind, and you think, am I just inventing this? You know, am I just making this up? But no, listening to that was quite scary. It was like, this is exactly me. And funnily enough, the kind of solutions the advice that was given in that bit of reading were kind of how I should, and how I know in my head that I should go about dealing with it. But it's not always that easy to do. You know, doing things in small doses and that kind of thing. But perfectly right in the fact that when you do kind of break it and kind of get, you know, one or two things done, it certainly makes you feel a lot more positive almost immediately. You know, and then yeah, about doing things you enjoy. I mean, you know, I'm never happier than when I'm out in the hills. That's me. I'm obviously, you know, now I'm back gaming again as well. Again, that's just a total and utter detachment. Wang, I'm happy now. I'm in a happy place. Doing either of those things, you know, are great, and they sort of alleviate all the pressure and stuff, you know. And then obviously there are other things, you know, like, you know, just spending nice time with my kids, you know, when they're behaving and when they're doing, you know, and just doing nice things with them is good, you know. Theme park days and that kind of thing is just is great. Walks in the forest, you know, happiest times, you know, from the simplest of pleasures, you know. So yeah, it was really interesting to listen to that this morning. It was kind of like, wow, this is like almost somebody describing the inner workings of my brain. And it's, in some ways, it's reassuring that, like I say, that, you know, I'm not making it up, you know. I'm not inventing it, which is a shame, because it would be nice if I could just click my fingers and go, right, that's it. It was all a dream. It was all a dream, like Bobby Ewing. But, you know. So, that was very good. And I really enjoyed listening to that, Seth. Thank you very much for sharing. It's a good thing. But what I was going to come to was, I'm going out tonight. This is one of these small steps, and it's taken an awful lot to persuade me to do this tonight. And in the end, it came down to just simply grasping the nettle. That's how I've done it. So a friend of mine who I go walking with occasionally and photographing with, lives in my village. I don't know him all that well. I've known him for probably a year and a half or so, something like that. Met through a group on Flickr, local photography group. And he lives in my village. So, you know, now and again, once a month, a couple of times a month, maybe we'll just like hit each other up. You're busy tomorrow, mate. You fancy a walk? And we'll just jump in the car or chuck our boots on and go for a walk locally. We share a lot of interest. He's a gamer. He's into walking. He's into photography. So he's into science. So we've got a lot of common interests, which is great. So it means that, you know, when we are out, we can have a chat, and it's good. It's all good. And this guy is such a lovely bloke. He really is. He's one of these guys that will just do anything to help you. He's a solid guy. He really is. Anyway, we were going out. back in the summertime, we went for a day trip up to Flamborough Head. Some of you may remember I did some audio boost from up there, mainly for a walk and a bit of photography. And it was a really good day out, belting hot day along the head. It was gorgeous. And on the way up, he was playing some MP3s in his car as he was driving along. And one of them was from a comedian called Henning Venn, who some of you may know. He's a German comedian. He quite often gets on these like comedy panel shows, like what do you call it, 8 out of 10 Cats and Mock the Week and that kind of thing. He's quite often doing that kind of stuff. And I really like him. I think he's really funny. But I hadn't sort of, other than seeing him on the panel shows, I hadn't actually listened to any of his real sort of genuine comedy. So Dave had a recording of this and of one of his stage shows, and I really, really enjoyed it. It was very, very funny. I love the sort of way that essentially the basis of his comedy seems to be comparing German and English, German and British cultures, and then mocking them both, showing the weaknesses in both cultures, and it's really good. It's really, really cleverly done. And I just genuinely enjoyed listening to that audio. So anyway, the other day, Dave messaged me and said, I'm going to see Henning Venn on Friday night with some people from work. There's a spare ticket. Do you want to come? Whew, so sharp intake of breath, because this is one of the things that I really, really struggle to do. Social places like that, I can't deal with. You know, I can't go into pubs anymore. This is something that's come to light in the last few days as well as some of you will be aware. I can't go into pubs. I can go into pubs, obviously. I can walk and that kind of thing. But once I'm in a pub, I feel so uncomfortable. It's unbelievable. I feel the anxiety builds up and I feel like I start to panic and I need to get out. And that's really strange, because I used to spend pretty much all my spare time in pubs. It was my favourite pastime. Just the last few years, it's got harder and harder and harder to do it. And I can't explain it. It is just an anxiety thing. It's just something that I can't do. I've probably been in a pub half a dozen times in the last 2.5 years, something like that. And all of those times have been lunch times or sort of middle of the day when I've been out, you know, in a city centre photo shoot or something, and the people I've been with have gone, oh, shall we call in for a pint? I would just walk straight past. But, you know, if there's two or three other people that want to do something, I'm not going to be the killjoy that says no, and I'll have a go rather than just sitting on a park bench on my own for an hour. And I've kind of been okay for about maybe an hour or so, but as soon as it starts getting busy, I've got to get out. You know, I can't deal with it. So consequently, I've never been in a pub for over night time for 2.5 years, something like that. No, something like that. And it's not just pubs either, it's kind of restaurants and that kind of thing. I feel so self-conscious. I mean, even going to like Nando's, you know, even calling in for a Nando's with a family, that's a big decision for me. I've got to really build myself up to it, you know. It's tough sometimes to kind of to explain that to the family when they're all like, you know, oh, yeah, let's go to Nando's. I said, well, maybe not today, because, you know, Dad's not feeling too good. But usually I can get around that, and I can you know, get myself built up to that, and I'm okay. But for a pub or a proper restaurant, no, not something that I feel that I can deal with. However, this opportunity's come up to go to the theatre, and straight away I thought, there's a bar at the theatre. It's going to be busy. There's going to be loads of people around there. And then I can't do it. But then I started thinking to myself, look, I'm going with people who don't know me, mostly, apart from Dave. I've never met any of the other people there. So, you know, that's going to be, that should be okay. Although I'm not good at meeting new people, but my figuring was that 90% of it is going to be sat in a row where I'm not actually interacting with these people, and I'm more focused on what's going on in front of me on the stage, you know? So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I could deal with that. And then I thought, well, but what about going to the bar? I couldn't stand in a queue at the bar and wrestle my way through to grab a pint in the interval. But then I thought, well, actually, you know, intervals in theatres are never to be very short anyway. And usually in the past, when I've gone and bought myself a pint in the interval, I've ended up like chugging it down because the bell's gone to get back in. So it just seems like a pointless exercise. So I'm thinking, okay, well, that's okay. I'm just, you know, politely decline. So actually, I'm okay. I don't want to drink, thank you. And I'll just go and sort of stand away from the crowd a little bit. So I'm thinking, okay, so I can maybe deal with that. So I kind of agreed to go. Again, what was this thing that Sarah was just talking about? Small steps. You know, I'm thinking, can I do this? And is it? You know, could I use this maybe as a stepping stone to try and sort of bring myself back to bring me confidence back to go out more of an evening? But now the time is upon me. It's tonight, and there have been a few hiccups along the way. Dave wanted to go at a certain time, and I couldn't make it because he's off work. But I've got to wait until the wife comes home so I can leave tonight. He wanted to go and do something during the day today, but obviously I've got childcare as well, so he's had to change his plans to accommodate me, which is obviously making me feel more and more awkward because, you know, he's changing plans left, right and centre to accommodate me. And, that makes me feel uncomfortable as well. You know, it's just piling the pressure on. So here I am on Friday morning about to go to a theatre in Leeds, I believe. To watch a comedian with a group of strangers, and I'm fretting like hell. I really am. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But I need to kind of try and do this because it's shown itself in the last few days. This is now starting to impact on other areas of my life, and I'm avoiding events that I would really like to be involved in simply because I can't deal with going to the pub. You know, that's the problem. And I'm having to sort of decline and change, you know, and not get involved in things because of the fact that it's this pub thing. It seems it's British culture at the end of the day, isn't it? You know, people go to the pub. That's what people do. It's what I used to do, but I can't do it anymore. And I'm trying to put that right. And tonight is a kind of small step towards trying to make things better. But honestly, I'm fretting already, and it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. I've got another 8 or 9 hours yet, and I'm so it'll be interesting to see what comes of tonight. I shall keep you lovely people informed. I suppose, look, at the end of the day, if it gets too much, I can just get out, you know. I can just get out and go and sit in the square and wait for them all to come out at the end. But I don't want to start thinking like that. I want to try and stay positive and think, right, okay, I can do this. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good thing, you know. And just hope that I can enjoy it. But I tell you what, I'm terrified. I really am. Sounds crazy. You're 41 years old, and all I'm doing is going to go and sit in a chair and watch somebody talk for a couple of hours. But all the trims and trappings that go around it, trappings and trimmings, that's better. trappings and trimmings that go around it are what's making me nervous. But hey. I'm sure it'll all be fine. So I'm going to get the house sorted, get the vacuuming done and bathrooms cleaned and that kind of thing, and get everything nice and neat and tidy for my wife coming home tonight, so she can relax this evening while I'm out. And then tomorrow I've got more painting to do. I've got to finish off this decorating, which is going to be fun. I want to have everything sort of neat and tidy so that they can relax and I can just crack on without feeling guilty. And then I have to have an argument or a discussion, a meeting, a contretemps with a chap called Wal, because that time has come to take the clippers to my hair and face and lose the hair and tidy up the beard. Because at the minute I look like Grizzly Adams. And I think if I walked into a room full of strangers looking like I do now, they would probably all run out. I need to sort that out. And again, that's something that I dread doing. I don't dread doing. It's one of those things that I put off and put off and put off, because it's not the greatest, it's not the most fun thing in the world, cutting your own hair, is it? But you know, once it's done, it's that, it feels so much better. And at the minute, I've only got a tiny bit of hair. I'm not bald, you know. I'm nearly bald. I'm very thin on top. So, it's, you know, I can let it grow long and I can do stuff. I can make it styly and stuff. But, you know, it's just easy just to get it off, isn't it? It's just easier. Just go bald gracefully, I say. Take the clippers and get it off. Number one all over. That's the way to do it. My beard is actually thicker and longer than my hair on my head. Which is, yeah, that's middle age for you. Awesome. Anyway, that all got very deep and meaningful, didn't it? Yeah, but again, that was just literally, I wasn't planning on talking about that. I wanted to say thank you to Sarah for sharing, and then the rest just kind of flowed out, which is kind of probably what I referred to me doing yesterday, which is good, I guess. Good. It's good to talk. Yeah, awesome. Other than that, I've got to talk a bit about gaming, haven't I? Diablo 3 on the Xbox One, version, or Reaper of Souls, as it's called, Ultimate Evil Edition. that's two sessions in that game now. Last night and the night before. It's awesome. It's all mind blowing. Absolutely mind blowing. It's a real statty game. It's all about the stats. It's all about working out what's the best way to go, the best equipment to carry, and what to sell, and what to keep, and what to craft. And how can I describe it? It's like it is pretty much an RPG in some ways. It's brilliant. It really is good. Really is good indeed. We were talking last night, and it's such an easy game to play as well. The combat in it is very, very simple. You know, there's none of this button mashy sort of putting combinations of punches and kicks together, that kind of thing. It's just very, very simple, plowing through, and it is really all down to, there's a little bit of skill, a little bit of tactics involved in how you take on these baddies, these demons, but it's majority of it's down to how you build your character, and it's about how you, what type of weapon you use, and how you set up your character in relation to the amount of energy or stamina or that using these weapons is going to take from you and stuff, and how fast you can recuperate health and magic power and this kind of thing. It takes a lot of thinking about, a lot of working out. But it's great fun doing it. It's great fun. And the loot is amazing, you know. You just, like, hit something and hit a chest or something, and this stuff just spills out all over the floor, and you gather it all up, and then it's, you know, you've got another 10 minutes then just sitting there going through it or working out if any of it's worth keeping, or if you're just going to scrap the rest of it and build something else from the remains. It's just, it's brilliant. Such a good game. Blizzard Entertainment, they're pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. I've never been into World of Warcraft, which is their flagship. That's far too geeky for me, but I like the sort of dumbed downness that Diablo offers. It's not dumbed down too much, but it's still very, 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 very thinky, but a lot easier to cope with, a lot more accessible than World of Warcraft, so I'm led to believe. It's awesome. It's really, really good. So I'm probably going to miss out on that tonight, unless I'm feeling still busy, buzzing and wide awake when I get back from this concert tonight. Well, of course, there is the problem that I've had many late nights since I got my shiny new Xbox One console. I just have to keep saying that because it sounds so good. I'm worried that I might fall asleep. I'll have to be drinking lots of strong coffee. On the way up, I think I'll take myself a very long, very strong coffee in a thermos mug to drink on the way up, I think. Keep me wide awake through the proceedings. But I'm really looking forward to Henning Venn. He's a very funny guy. Check him out if you've never heard of him. He's definitely worth a listen to. It's awesome. Really good. Anyway, I think I'll leave it at that for now. I think I've probably talked to you enough. I'm going to crack on with my housey work, have another long, strong cup of coffee. I think slow, progressive caffeine intake throughout the day is good. Avoid the peaks and troughs, I think. There we go. Right, anyway, I'm going to go and I will hopefully have a good night tonight, and I'll let you all know how it went tomorrow, hopefully. Right then, guys, thanks very much for listening to me. Hope you're all well. Thank you very much again to Sarah for posting that. Really, I found it really, really useful. Really did. It was great. So, yes, thank you. And I'll speak to you all later. Take care, man. Bye-bye.